Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. My, how quickly time flies, because it's been 20 years since we first saw this.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
Really, do we need to say anymore? Of course that's Good Will Hunting, the tug at your heartstrings Boston flick about a 20-year-old math genius who also happens to be a South Boston janitor who's got to go see about a girl. Now, that movie made $225 million. It also launched Matt Damon and Ben Affleck into stardom. And it cemented an almost indestructible Boston stereotype into the American imagination. So how well has the movie aged? And what is its real legacy? Ty Burr, film critic for the Boston Globe, has some answers to these questions, and he joins us now. It's great to see you, Ty.
Thanks, Meghna. Great to be here.
Okay, so how well does Good Will Hunting hold up 20
years
later?
You know, I approached watching this movie 20 years on, and I don't think I might have seen it once or twice in the intervening 20 years with trepidation.
Yeah.
Because, you know, have we held on to our innocence? You know what? The movie still works. The movie's, and in fact, it's almost painfully good and it's almost painfully emotional to look back at a time when Ben and Matt both seemed like best buddies and both seemed young and we were young and the world was rosy and South Boston seemed like a novel place for the movies to go to.
Right. And there's a very dewy-eyed Casey Affleck in there too,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. I mean, he's like practically in diapers.
Practically with a curly mop of hair right on the top of his head. So what is it about the film, though, that seemed to it captured something about Boston that hadn't been told in that way or as effectively before for a mass audience.
Right. And I think credit partially has to go to director Gus Van Sant, who is probably one of the most commercial movies of his career, but he was known for celebrating outsiders. And in this movie, these two kids from Southie are kind of like the ultimate Boston outsiders. And one of them gets this chance to break into, you know, the Institute, MIT. He's an MIT janitor who solves an equation on a chalkboard. And, oh, my God, he's a genius. And Stellan Skarsgård is the sleazy professor.
Oh, yeah. He looks quite different now.
Yes, he does.
In the current context.
Tries to bring him into the fold and then takes him to Robin Williams as the shrink. But it really is about the character's roots in this novel country that the movies had never really explored in depth. They'd gone there a number of times, but never really gone into the culture of it, yeah, the anthropology of it. It got something about Boston that few movies do, which is the class divides,
yeah,
the barriers.
Absolutely. Well, so to that point, I mean, one of my favorite scenes from the movie is the famous or infamous Harvard bar scene.
Yes.
Right? And of course, it's where Ben Affleck is going up to Minnie Driver and, you know, he's trying to pick her up, but he gets called out for his class by a university student. And then Matt Damon or Will Hunting swoops in to save the day with his surprising Southie genius. And here's a clip from that scene.
See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're going to start doing some thinking on your own, and you're going to come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on a education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal.
That scene, I have to say, it strikes me differently now.
How so?
Given the sort of economic travails that we were all thinking about than it did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, it seemed very heartfelt and uplifting. But now, you know, I hear Will Hunting there being like, yeah, at least I won't be unoriginal. I wonder how many people in his situation now would like that would be their comeback, really.
it's an angry role.
Yeah.
And it's funny to watch Matt Damon in this, A, because he's about half the size he is now. Not to say that he's huge, but he just was really skinny then. But it's probably one of the angriest roles that he ever played. And you forget how forceful and how really there's a hot ball of rage under this character that he has to solve to go on with life. But that rage is definitely reflective to some degree and even more of the class barrier.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one of the first times I think in movies that rage had sort of been tapped and put onto film in a way that was very sort of viscerally satisfying for audiences.
You know, so you mentioned Gus Van Sant having been the director, yeah. but I also, like, I have to say, I remember being surprised slash shocked that Ben Affleck and Matt Damon wrote the screenplay, right? They won the Oscar for Best Original Screenplay that year.
I know, and it's, you know, talk about setting up expectations. I mean, and that was the fairy tale. That was the fairy tale of this movie that's still really quite moving. These, you know, kids out of nowhere who were from buddies from Cambridge, you know, went to Hollywood. They pushed it through. They got to star in it. They got it shot in Boston when a lot of the suits were saying, nah, we'll shoot it in Toronto. They got the movie made the way they wanted it made. And then it triumphed. I mean, it cost $10 million to make and made $225 million at the box office, won a bunch of Oscars. I mean,
$10 million. That's what, like, Matt Damon makes in, you know, yeah. a week on a movie set now.
Exactly.
Well, let's play another clip then from Good Will Hunting. This is a scene towards the end of the movie when Ben Affleck's character, Chucky, tells Will that Will needs to get out of Boston, mm-hmm. right? Not necessarily for Will's own good, but for the good of his friends like Chucky. Here's what he said.
Every day I come by your house and I pick you up. We go out, we have a few drinks and a few laughs, and it's great. You know what the best part of my day is? For about 10 seconds from when I pull up to the curb and when I get to your door. Because I think maybe I'll get up there and I'll knock on the door and you won't be there. No goodbye, no see you later, no nothing. Just left.
Now, you've written about this, and you say that scenes like this play like the beginnings end. What do you mean by that?
Well, what felt like the beginning of something now when you look at this movie, because they're both really good in it. You know, Affleck gets a lot of flack for a variety of reasons. He's so good in this movie. And Damon's so good. They play really well together. And after this, everything changed. Affleck went off to become a big movie star, fell in love with Jennifer Lopez. Damon went off and
made
did Geely. Talent. Yeah,
made
Geely and you know, other movies of which we will not speak. Damon went off and made Talented Mr. Ripley, had a very different career. We thought that we were going to see more of them together, and we didn't. And in fact, they had careers, separate careers that we would never have predicted. So that beginning of something wonderful turned into something different.
Yeah. So I want to talk about something else that you've written about the legacy of Good Will Hunting, that perhaps the Boston movie may be a victim of Good Will Hunting's success, in that you've written that the authenticity shown in Good Will Hunting, in your words, about Boston has been slowly hammered into a cliche.
Well, you know, think about it. Hollywood loves a fresh location. And here was, you know, an urban neighborhood, an ethnic enclave shown with what felt very fresh realism. It felt authentic. Great, let's go back there again. You know, it feels real. And so then we got Mystic River, and then we got The Departed, and then we got Gone Baby Gone, and then we got The Town, and on and on and on. And the most recent ones are the marathon bombing movies, yeah. Patriot's Day and Stronger. And The Fighter, they're all
Black Mass.
They all have their strengths and weaknesses. I would argue over time, they have just hardened into cliche. And a movie like Stronger is a very good example. Jake Gyllenhaal gives a tremendous performance. The scenes with him dealing with coming back from his injuries and the bombing are very, very moving. It feels like a freshly told tale. Every time he goes in and has scenes with the character's family, you know, squawking and squabbling and these broad accents and you know, throwing F-bombs, it just feels... It feels like we've been there before. It feels like they're going to a series of stereotypes and not bringing, really shedding any new light on them.
Yeah. So to that point, I want to play one more clip. This has to do with Casey Affleck,
mm-hmm.
And his recent cinematic triumph in Manchester by the Sea, the 2016 Oscar-winning film. And he, of course, plays Lee. A man who's had a devastating loss in his life. And I've seen here between Casey Affleck and Michelle Williams, they play a divorced couple who went through this tragedy together.
Maybe you don't want to talk to me.
It's not that.
Let me finish. However, my heart was broken. It's always going to be broken. But I know yours is broken too.
Now, the reason I wanted to play a clip from Manchester by the Sea, Ty, is that I think the great triumph of that movie is it takes some of the same tropes that we see in Good Will Hunting, but treats them with such tenderness and complexity and depth that it's an altogether different kind of Boston or Boston area movie, but in the same line.
Well, I completely agree, because you have squabbling families. You got, you know, the uncle and the nephew, basically, and they're yelling at each other in regional accents and throwing the F-bombs at each other. Exactly what I was just criticizing. But because partially it's set in a novel setting, slightly outside, you know, in a different city, partly because the dramatic setup is different, and partly because Kenneth Lonergan is a really good writer and director. It feels new. You feel like you're in the moment. You feel like you're not leaning on things that have been done before. I do feel that the Boston movie is starting perhaps to move in different directions, as I think it needs to, if it's going to stay vibrant, if the stories that are going to be told about what happens here are going to be reach beyond the area and touch people in other parts of the country.
I agree. And I mean, to be blunt about it, the Boston movie, I feel, I'd love to see it move beyond the sort of white male working class accented bro-y guy. Because that, you know, that will still always be a very important part of who and what Boston is. But the city and the region have so many other really vibrant stories to tell, other vibrant stereotypes or tropes to offer the nation, that I'd love to see those
made in movies. North Shore, South Shore. You know, I always think of it in the western suburbs. Well, that's where everybody goes to get away from drama. So, you know, nobody will ever make a movie set in Newton, but you never know.
I still want the great commercial successful Hollywood film to come out of Roxbury. Mattapan.
You know, I have been saying for years that the great Boston movie has yet to be made, and it will be about busing, and nobody here will want to see it.
But everyone else should, though.
Exactly.
And honestly, we ought to see a great movie about an honest assessment of busing as well.
But I'm not holding my breath.
Ty Burr, film critic for the Boston Globe, talking to us about the lasting legacy 20 years later of Good Will Hunting. It's really been great to have you, Ty. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Meghna.
Now, we should also acknowledge that a lot has changed since 1997. Some of it not so good. So it's important in this moment to also talk about the fact that the two Affleck brothers have faced a lot of scrutiny for their treatment of women in the years following Good Will Hunting. Casey Affleck settled two lawsuits accusing him of sexual harassment, and Ben Affleck recently apologized for his treatment of women and his association with Harvey Weinstein. Ty Burr acknowledges some of those associations in his piece that he wrote about Good Will Hunting. And you can find a link to that at our website, radioboston.org. That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.